Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 6 and verse 19, Paul said, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? Can anybody remember some things that you were ashamed of? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, thank the Lord, and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, in the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Today I preach a message of hope, a message of salvation, an evangelism message. And this thought has been preached many times by many over the years, but the wonderful thing is this message is still the same as it has always been. Here in this house today, we can find hope. It's here today that we can find salvation, that we can find meaning for life. It's here in this place today that our life can be pointed in God's direction for us. And so today I preach to you hope in eternity. Hope in eternity. One more time, would you just lift your hands towards heaven and let's ask the presence of God to do a complete work here today. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for what we feel. We thank you for the power of your spirit that's moving in this house today. We pray that your will be done, God, that your purpose be accomplished in us. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory, Lord. We worship you. We thank you for your presence right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now? God bless you. You may be seated. Sadly, today, most in the world are focused on the here and now versus the eternal. The temporal, the temporary, what we can see today, what we can interact with around us, for it takes a little more effort to look beyond that which is readily seen around us. Yes, it takes faith to look beyond the temporary and to see the things of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 tells us, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I pray that God would rearrange our thinking here today. Let him give us healing, healing in our senses. Let our sight be expanded today to look not just at the things which are seen, but to see some things that are beyond our flesh, that are beyond the natural. To look beyond the temporary things of life which will pass away and to see into the eternal realm. You see, life is short. Life is short. James writes in chapter 4, verse 13 and 15, he says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Life is short. It's like a vapor. We make plans for life. We determine to do this or to do that. But life is like a vapor, and we don't know what tomorrow will bring. This life appeareth for a little while, and then it vanisheth away. Sister McCoy has one of these contraptions in our kitchen that it puts vapor up into the air, and you, some of you know what I'm talking about, and you put little drops of oil or something in there, and some of them smell good, and some of them don't smell good. But you can see the vapor coming out. And right there close to the base of it, it really comes out quite strong. But you just move up 6 inches or a foot and it's gone. The Bible says that life is like that. It's like a vapor. Life is short. It's here and then it's gone. Those of you that have lived a few years can attest to that. When we're young, it seems that life moves so slow. It's so slow, and it takes so long to get to where we want to be. And we can't wait until we're a teenager, and then we can't wait until we can drive, and then we can't wait until we graduate, and then until you get married, and then have kids, and then you turn around once, and you're 40. That's what you got to look forward to, young people. Or 50. Or 60. Or some of you that are 70, you say it's just yesterday that you remember being a child. We hear of someone dying at 90 or at 100, and we think, well, that's a long time to live. But Methuselah lived 969 years. And even that is a short time compared to eternity. Suppose today that your short life was ending today. What would the results of your existence be? What would your funeral be like? Would it be a time of sorrow, or would it be a great time of joy? Would it be time for regret or a time of praise and worship? When faced with the shortness of life and the sureness of death, it clears the mind, it clears the vision. Those who have never given thought to their soul, now they consider the things of God. Those who would never listen to the voice of a preacher, they now call for him to come and pray. What will our testimony be at the end of this life? Will it be a time to weep, or will it be a time to rejoice? It depends on what we have done with this gospel being delivered to us this day. It depends on how we've answered the Master's call. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1 and 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Let me tell us here today, you don't have to wait until the end of life to make your decision to live for the Lord. Come on, you don't have to wait, and you don't have to delay in repenting of your sins and being baptized in the name of Jesus. You don't have to wait to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost until later on in life. But I want to tell you, it's the most important thing that you could do today. Hallelujah. Amen. It's most important that we make room in our life for the Lord. That's the most important decision, because life is short. Don't you let it run out. Don't you neglect the eternal. Don't you wait until it's too late, but choose Christ today. Make room in your heart for him today. Make that commitment now. Allow God to work in you today. Yes, life is short. Tell us here today, eternity is long. The old preachers used two illustrations to try to describe the length of eternity. They would first compare this world, or the length of eternity, to a great steel ball. If the world was a great steel ball, and suppose an eagle swooped down every 100 years and just barely touched the steel ball. Then when the world-sized steel ball was completely worn away, eternity would have only just begun. Or suppose that a sparrow took a drop of water from the Atlantic Ocean and not flew, but hopped slowly across the United States and dropped that drop into the Pacific Ocean. And then suppose he hopped back across the country for another drop of the Atlantic and repeated the process until the entire Atlantic Ocean was emptied into the Pacific, then they would say eternity would have just begun. This might seem a little far-fetched, but no one can measure the expanse of eternity. Psalm 90 and 4 declares, "For 1,000 years in thy sight are but yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night." 2 Peter 3:8, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as a 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." Eternity is definitely long. Where will we spend it? Will it be in heaven or will it be in hell? 1 Thessalonians 4:16 gives us hope today. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Hey, I've come to bring you comfort today. When you choose Jesus Christ, when you're filled with His Spirit, when you repent of all your sins, you have a hope. You have a hope in eternity that you're going to ever and ever and ever be with the Lord. Oh, what a comfort that brings to us today. But to those who are not saved, and to those who have only focused on the temporary things of life, to those who have neglected the things of God and the things of the Spirit, Mark described it like this. He said, "If your hand offends thee, cut it off, for it would be better to go to heaven maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Or if your foot offends you, cut it off, for it would be better to limp through this life than to have 2 feet and be cast into hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye offends you, pluck it out, for it would be better to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and go into hellfire." I want to tell you, eternity is long. We can't fathom its length, having no end. But think how long eternity will be in hell, having no end. Oh, the horror of it. But think how long eternity will be in heaven, having no end. Oh, the joy. Oh, the peace. Which will it be? The choice is ours today. Will we repent of our sins? Will we be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? Will we be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost? Or are we going to put it off a little longer to wait until a more convenient time? Life is short. Eternity is long. Don't wait another day. Thirdly, today, may I declare that sin is dreadful. Sin is dreadful. This world is full of sin. The fact is, sin has entered your heart and mine. Ever since Satan brought sin into the Garden of Eden, every living soul had been contaminated with sin. David declared in Psalm 51:5, he said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There are all kinds of people in the world, let me say. There's tall people, short people, there's skinny people, there's blessed people, there's those who are rich, there's those who are poor, there's every race, there's every nationality. You can find all types of people, but there is one type of person that you will never find. You can look high and you can look low. You can search far and wide in every corner of the world, but you will never find someone who has not sinned. They're not to be found. All have sinned. We're all in the same boat. We've all come short of the glory of God. What does it mean to sin? What does it mean? What is sin? Several years ago, when I was I just graduated from college. I was on a missions trip to England, and we did street evangelism and met people, invited them to church. And we had this great group come. It was these students. They came, and a whole group of them came, and they came to the altar, and they started praying in that service. And I can remember praying with some of them, and we were trying to tell them how to be saved. And we say, you need to repent of your sins. And they had this blank look on their face. And I remember them asking me, what's sin? What is sin? And in that country that has moved so far away from God, they literally had no concept of what sin was. What is sin? The Bible tells us that sin is when we transgress against God's laws. You can go out today and right here in front of the church, you can get that car up to 45 miles per hour. And if you do so, you have transgressed against man's laws. If you're caught, you'll pay a penalty. But there's some laws of God. There's some things that are written in His Word. And if we transgress against God's law, then that is sin. Sin is really rebellion against God. Sin, you know, God says, well, I want you to do this, and I want you to live this way. But we say, well, I'm my own person, and I'll do as I choose, and I'll make my own decisions. That is sin. That's when we rebel against God. James 4:17 tells us, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Or sometimes we may think, well, I'm not a murderer. I'm not an adulterer. I don't lie or cheat or steal, so I must be pretty good. But there's also the sin of omission. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Sin is dreadful, and this world is full of sin. But if we could take a trip along today through the halls of hell, and if we could talk to the inhabitants of that dreadful place, if we could ask them why they were there, they wouldn't say that they were there because they were murderers or adulterers none of that. They could find forgiveness for that. But what they would all say is that we are here because we didn't put our trust in Jesus Christ. They are there because they have never been born again. Amen. We never received the precious gospel, they would say. I want to tell you today, if you reject Jesus Christ, it's the ultimate sin. It's the ultimate sin. In Mark 16:15, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. You may commit many sins throughout life, but there's forgiveness of those things. Jesus died to set us free from sin, but there's no forgiveness for the final rejection of Jesus Christ. Sin is dreadful. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death, and that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sin is dreadful, and there's only one escape, through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He died to set us free. There's only one remedy from sin. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18 tells us, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I want to tell you, there is a remedy for sin. There is an escape from sin, and it comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'd like to remind us today that hell is certain. What a movement we've seen in our world to do away with hell. Many modern preachers have just about taken hell out of the Bible, and we hear little preaching on it. We think of it even less, perhaps, but know this today, that no man has the ability to destroy hell. This generation doesn't have the power to do away with hell. Hell's fires are just as hot as ever. Isaiah 5:14, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it, and the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. Did you know the Bible speaks more about hell than it does of heaven? We believe in heaven, but don't forget about hell. I believe it's because God wants to warn us, and he wants us to know that we must escape hell. We must accept him. We must receive him. It takes more than just being a good person to escape hell. It takes more than just loving people to escape hell. Read with me Revelation 20 and 21 and verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Notice with me the second group there that will have their part in the lake of fire. It's the unbelieving. Remember, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Hey, think about it with me today. Being shut up with your memory in hell forever. Where your memory continues on and on. In that place of torment. Think about it. You'll remember how you went to church and every time you heard the gospel. You remember every time you had a chance to repent and never moved. You remember every time the Holy Ghost reached for you in a service, but there was always some reason to not pray. I tell you, hell is certain, and there's no way to escape it except for Jesus Christ. Yes, life is short, and eternity is long. Sin is dreadful and hell is certain, but I've come to declare to every single person here today, and this is the message that all of Springfield needs to hear. Hey, I want to tell you this truth that all the world needs to know. We have the hope of heaven today. We have hope in eternity. It's not just life and then it's over, but we have a hope today that's beyond all hopes. It's beyond anything that this world can provide. I want to tell you today, we have the hope of heaven. We have hope in eternity. Just think about the happy reunions that will take place in heaven. Some here today, you're looking forward to seeing fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers and those who have gone on before you. Heaven's going to be so sweet when you meet them again. And to think there's not going to be any more tears. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sorrow. But the best part of it all will be when you see Jesus. When we see Jesus, our Master and our King, our Savior. When we fall at his feet and we give him glory and honor and praise and we thank him for saving us from sin. Oh, what a place that heaven's gonna be. We have a hope in eternity. We have a hope in heaven. I've come to tell somebody today that it's easy to go to heaven. It's easy to be saved. It's easy to be set free from sin. It's easy to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. But it's hard if we don't give ourselves completely to Jesus. Don't make it hard today. Don't hold anything back, but give yourself totally 100% to the Lord. Why go to hell when it's so easy to go to heaven? Why go to hell when it's so easy to go to heaven? Repent of your sins today. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. If you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, I tell you, it's a promise for you today. You can receive it just like the book of Acts where they spoke in tongues. I tell you, it's easy to go to heaven. Don't go to hell when it's so easy to go to heaven. And if you're struggling today, if you've made some mistakes, if you faltered along the way, don't let the enemy keep you down. But Jesus Christ died to set you free forever. You may have made some mistakes. You have messed up. But God wants to give you a new start today. Don't go to hell when it's so easy to go to heaven. Hallelujah. Come to tell somebody today, the enemy has tried to convince you that it's hard to be saved, that it's hard to repent of your sins, that it's hard to be set free from sin, that it's hard to be delivered. But I've come to tell you, it's easy. Just give the Lord your life. Just come to him. Don't put any restrictions on the Lord, but say, God, here I am. It's easy to go to heaven today, but it's hard when we don't give him everything. Would you stand with me today? Yes, life is short, and eternity is long. Sin is dreadful, and hell is certain. But we have the hope of heaven. We have the hope of heaven. I pray that some soul has heard this voice of hope today. We all have hope in eternity. We don't have to enter eternity without hope. But don't wait until eternity to try finding it. This is the day of salvation. This is the time to repent. This is the hour to make your choice. Don't go to hell when it's so easy to go to heaven. We have a hope today. We have a hope today. What is it that's holding you back? Is it a fear of what others might think? That's not going to matter in eternity. What's keeping you from committing to God today? Is it a fear of failure? We all fail. But Jesus Christ loves us. And He's continually reaching for us. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemies. For when I fall, I shall arise. I may make some mistakes. I may fall a time or two, or three or four or five or ten, but I'm going to get up again, and I'm going to live for the Lord, and I'm going to start out fresh. I determine I'm not going to be lost. I'm going to do whatever it takes to be saved. Hey, don't go to hell when it's so easy to go to heaven. Don't go to hell. Don't listen to the enemy's lies when it's so easy to be set free. Don't you dare live under condemnation when it's so easy that the blood of Jesus can wash your sins away. Don't go to hell when it's so easy to go to heaven. Don't let it hold you back today. But I wonder if there'd be someone gather around this altar with me right now and say, Lord, forgive me my sins. Lord, search my heart. Help me to be ready to make it to heaven. God, I need you today. Maybe somebody needs to be baptized today. Don't leave here without being baptized in the name of Jesus. Maybe you need the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you'd repent of your sins and begin to worship God, God wants to fill you with His Spirit right now. We have a hope. We have a hope today. We have hope in eternity. Why don't you let God reach to your life right now, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.